Everybody, welcome back to the Well-Rounded Wealth Podcast. We are here with a special guest today on episode 25, Andrew Reamer. How are you doing?
We doing good. Ready to talk business.
I love it.
All right, Andrew.
So quick introduction from our side. Andrew, we knew him way back, kind of middle school and very, very beginning of high school, and then went our separate ways. Saw he was doing some stuff in the social media world, and he reached out. We reached back out to him. We're kind of following each other and had him on, and here we go again. So, Andrew, we want to give everyone who's listening kind of just a brief background, what you've been up to, and where you are today.
Absolutely. So, in short, I am a part-time business consultant for LPL Financial. I am an aspiring YouTuber. I've had several channels over since 12 years old. I am a marketing consultant on Fiverr. And yeah, those are my three main things right now. So a lot going on, but just trying to branch off in as many areas as possible. I will make it in one, I promise.
Going to fuck around and find out.
Exactly.
Awesome, I man. Love it.
Well, I know we were talking a little bit before this week, and why don't we just jump right into the YouTube side? Because I know you got a great story that's top of mind. And I guess before we jump into the story, tell them what your YouTube channel is and what you're focusing on.
Sure. It is called Professor Drives, and it's a car review channel. I've had many, many other channels in the past, but this one is my main focus. So the story that Patrick's kind of hinting at here, I heard this saying, I don't know, I can't remember exactly how it was, but it was something along the lines of like, whenever you're in a dark place, think of it as like you have been planted. Like you're a seed. There's no light anywhere around you. It's just darkness. This is exactly how I felt when, well, let's get into the story.
Okay. Okay. So real quick, he reviews cars.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
We can talk more about how that came up. This story is just top of mind. So one of the hardest part about car reviews, I tried to get into a area that had a very high barrier to entry. So first of all, you kind of need someone to help you 24/7 to get a lot of the shots. You need to be a good presenter. You need to have access to these cars. You need to know how to video edit. I'm like, this is something I should just try. So anyway, with along the lines of like the hardest part is getting access to the cars. I've been cold calling all these different places, and this company named CCVG Rentals in Charlotte, I called them up and I hit the lottery. He said, hey, on Thursday, or that would be, sorry, yesterday. Yes, yesterday morning. He was like, Thursday of last week, he said, Monday morning, come through. I have a Lamborghini Huracan for you to review. I'm like, there's absolutely no fucking way. So meditated for a bit, calmed myself down, got my composure. We woke up at 7 a.m., drove all the way out there, and the dude was nowhere to be found. So we're just sitting out there. He's not responding to my texts. He's not calling me back. Nothing. I'm like, holy shit. Like, this was like my big breakthrough, and now my dreams are all ruined. So we started driving back home. Like, we literally did not, me and my brother, we're kind of a team on this. We didn't like say a word. I'm like, holy, like, I want to quit. Like, fuck me. This sucks. So we're like, let's just walk into some dealership that I did some research on and see if we can get the brand new Shelby GT500. What are the fucking odds? So as we're on our way there, the Lambo guy calls back and he's like, I'm so sorry. I got caught up in a bunch of stuff. So Lamborghini, that's going to be in 2 days. Assuming it all goes well. But yeah,
that, okay. Nice.
He said, oh, sorry. He wasn't all that. Then we walk into this other dealership and we secure the GT500. So that's what goes back to the saying of like, when you're in a dark place, that was a freaking dark place for me. Cause I was like, it's an emotional roller coaster. Like, you get it, you don't get it, you get it, you don't get it. Like, what's next? Whatever. If it wasn't for that guy not responding, we would have never have gotten the $100,000 GT500. So that was a win, even though 30 minutes prior to that call back, I wanted to just die and quit. So hopefully that inspires somebody in some way.
Dude, that's awesome. You know what that reminds me of? Have you ever seen the meme, or not the meme, but the picture where it's the guy is mining and the dude stops mining right before he gets to the diamonds. And then the other guy keeps going, like, I don't know, 10 more feet, and he gets to the diamonds. That's what that was. It's just when things look dark, just keep going a little bit more, and stuff will work out.
Yeah. It's like you lost a $100 lottery ticket that you won, and then you ended up winning the Powerball. So that's, I mean, that's awesome, man. Congrats. So have you gotten to drive any of them yet? When are you driving the GT500? Has that happened?
That's already done.
Awesome.
Yeah. I have never even touched a Lamborghini in my life. And what 23-year-old does that? Like, that's why this is like just insane to me. Insane. It's just, I don't know, the power of like believing in yourself, not quitting, being persistent. I don't know. It pays off, I guess.
So I have a question about the cold call that you made in the first place. What, how did that go? What made this guy say, yeah, drive a Lamborghini? How did it get there?
Yeah. I'm going to say something controversial here. I heard this from Andrew Tate, love him or hate him. You know, everyone has good points, everyone has bad points, but he was like, and I apply it to this. I heard this after I made the cold call. So like, arrogance is sometimes good. If you're working with somebody, let's say somebody comes in and talks to you about your podcast and wants to help you market your podcast or do something for it. If the guy just calls you and he's not like stuttering, he's just like, hey, like, do you want to work with me or not? Like, here's what I'm going to do for you. You probably trust that more than some guy who's like, hey, so my name is Andrew, and I was just wondering if I can help you guys out with your, like, two totally different things. So I was sick and tired of all the rejections I kept on getting with these cold calls. And I was like, ah, fuck it. You're going to give me the Lamborghini or not? Like, I kind of came across with that attitude, and I think he respected that in some way. So if I can remember exactly what I said, it was something like, hey, is this, the call lasted 59 seconds, by the way, which is beyond me. But I was like, hey, is this the owner of CCVG Rentals? He was like, yes. I said, hey, so I happen to be a car reviewer and YouTuber in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I just came across your website. I noticed you guys have some awesome cars. I was wondering if you would be interested in free marketing and advertising in exchange for some car reviews. He was like, yeah, just text me. We'll set something up. Like, no further discussion. I sent him the channel. He looked at the channel. He really liked all the reviews and the shots. That was the quickest deal ever struck that I've seen for me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I've found with people who work at a little bit higher level, like, they just don't have time for BS and sales calls or kind of the corporate, like, oh, like, we have the first 5 minutes as introductions. It's like, all right, tell me what you want. Tell me why you're going to do it, and tell me why I should choose you. Just get over it. And I was listening to a podcast or an interview the other day. You know Ari Gold from Entourage?
I do.
I don't.
Super good show. So this guy is an absolute dickhead, but he is the best. What is he?
He's a talent agent, and it's a TV show loosely based on Mark Wahlberg's life. And he's like the talent agent of the celebrity actor star.
Yeah. For context. It's based off this actual guy in real life who owns WBM Media or WEM Media?
WME,
that's it. So this guy's name's Ari Emanuel, and he was dyslexic. So what he would do was, he was like, fine, if I can't read shit, then I'm just going to go and make as many calls as I can in a day. And all he'd do is walk on a treadmill and make 400 calls a day, but they would all last 1 to 3 minutes and just rinse and repeat, and just like, I'm going to make it somehow, and it's just going to be volume. So that's what he was notorious for. And that reminds me of that, is just like, just have that diligence to just continue to keep going.
Definitely. Yeah. Man, I mean, maybe one of my weak points is probably rejection. Like, sales, if anyone watching does sales, you get the utmost fucking respect. Like, having somebody just tell you to fuck off, and then you have to go to the next person and be happy. Like, oh my God.
Yeah,
it's challenging. Cold calls, I've only done cold calls for seeking job opportunity, which is definitely challenging, because it's just to say the least. It's like stressful. Like, the way that you phrase yourself of, hey, like, this is who I am, this is what I have to offer, that's perfect the way that you did it. Because if you kind of come across and you kind of are coming across because you're inexperienced and this person is like a potential employer, you can, it's so easy to get all timid. And like you said earlier, just like the, hey, I'm Jack Mullen and I just want to reach out. And
your voice starts
Hey, I just want to fan of the job opportunities. It's so easy to do that. And because it's when you're, it's before you dial the number in the phone, like you're looking at the website and you type the number into your phone, and that it's before you hit that call button, right? It's right before you hit that call button. You're kind of like, oh, okay. All right. This is like, I'm about to make an impression. That was what freaked me out. It's just, I am about to tell this person my name and I'm about to make an impression and I could blow it so easily. That was where the stress came in.
And oh my gosh, I don't know how much pressure we should be putting on ourselves when it comes to first impressions. I am like a perfectionist and I feel like what you say, how you say it, the whole combination of like psychology, like what you say, how you say it, what your body language is, all this stuff is like, that will probably have like 50%. If there's an equation for somebody saying yes or no, like I feel like 50% of that is what they think of you right when they meet you, like immediately, like the first like few seconds.
Actually, there is an equation for this.
Well,
you know,
I got a book. I got a book. So I recently finished reading Never Split the Difference, which is a great book. Recommend it for anyone. It's on negotiations. He was the former global espionage negotiator for the FBI. And his name is Chris Voss. So 77% of how someone receives your communication is based on body language. I think it's is either 5 or 6% is what you actually say, and then the what is that? Whatever, 18%, whatever the difference is the tonage and how you say it. So whether you come across as like, "Hi, my name is," you're confident, or "Hey, my name is," and I think I can help you, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's the equation. I gotta look that up, but anyway,
that sounds accurate.
I would definitely suggest anyone read that book because it's great. And that's also another reason for you, I'm sure too, like when you go and meet these people in person, just carry yourself like you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you might not even have to say that many words, but if you walk in, like you look the part and you say, "Here's what I do. Here's what I can do for you. Here's your result that I want you to get out of this. And here's how we can be mutually beneficial to each other." I'm like, all right. Cool. Seems simple enough.
Especially take it or leave it.
Free. Yeah. Like they're not in this business model, you're completely basing everything off of YouTube. They're not paying you anything or anything like that. Yeah.
Because I get paid for making the videos and yeah, I get it. Like it's very hard for somebody to just be like, "Hey, 23. And I don't even know if I look 23. I think I have a baby face, but it's like, "Hey kid, here's a $80,000 car." Like, not, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't. I don't know if I would give somebody my car that looks like me.
Well, here's what I would counter that with. If somebody reached out to you and gave you a cold call the way that you did, would you respect that?
Facts, yes. That's another thing. You know, some of these businesses that I've contacted have just been so close-minded. It's like, what's more important when you're running a business, your emotion or the logic behind it? Like, how are you not going to actually give somebody a few minutes of your time to genuinely hear out what they have to offer? I'll give you an example. Fuck them. I'll just call them out. 704 Exotics in Charlotte. So,
I love it. Let's go.
All right.
I don't hate them, but I hate the guy that I spoke with. So they work with a YouTube channel called Bros for Speed, and they don't get that many views. Like I get more views than them. So I was calling 704 Exotics, and I'm like, "Hey, like that was the day of the Lambo cancellation. I was out there with my brother. We had all of our equipment ready, and I was like, talking, whatever. We got to the point where I was like, "Hey, yo, I can do a better job than those guys that you're working with. Like, I'm surprised you work with them. They don't get that many views. We can do a better job for you." And the way I just said that is exactly what I said to them, to that guy. And he went, "Yeah, well, they're actually our friends. So nah." And then just like hung up, like not even like, "Have a good day. No, thank you." It's like, you're running a business here and you're not even open. You, you're, you've reacted emotionally to the fact that you're working with a friend or a family member or something. It's like, what's more important, emotion or business? I've realized, I don't know if you guys have any experience with that.
Yeah. Well, that is where you get into the connection aspects, you know, like a lot of people always say it is who you know. And for that exact kind of situation, that is exactly what's going on there. They clearly have a personal connection with them. And unless you brought something to the table that was absolutely insane and blew them out of the water, then I do understand that. Personal connections are really hard to break, even in business.
Yeah, I think it's the way you phrase that too.
Really?
If I had any criticism, this is also in that book. It's especially in business where you think people would be just rational characters. And the case study they do here is, I'm going to give person A $10 and you have a partner. If you split it in any way and both agree, you both get to keep the money. But if you guys disagree on the split, no one gets any money. And that person B is if person A were to give them a dollar, they might think it's unfair and they'll say, all right, no deal. And then no one gets any money. Yet person B would be better off if they just make a rational deal. It's like, all right, I either get no money or I get a dollar. A dollar is better than.
So I know. Are you talking about the, you know, like Game Theory too? There's like that game show where it's, you know, steal it or split it.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that, but these are both dramatic effects, but with how you phrase it, people just aren't rational beings where we make irrational decisions. And we have what's called our hold on, I gotta look back at my notes on this book. This is a good book. So definitely suggest it for anyone. Like, we have two frames of thought with how we speak to people. We have system one thinking and system two. And system one is our animal mind, which is like the fast initial thought. So this guy you're talking to, he's probably like, this motherfucker who says, my friends suck. Why should I talk to him? That was the initial system one thinking, and it took over. System two is our deliberate, logical, more informed system. So that's the one you want to try and tap into.
That's a good insight. That's good right there. And I mean, yeah, I guess you make a mistake, you learn from it, whatever. Yeah,
totally.
There you go.
That's whatever.
And you didn't know that either, that there was a connection there. So like, there was there was also some ignorance that like when you just didn't know things.
Right.
I'm sure if you called them and you were aware that it was a personal connection of the people helping them with their videos, you probably would have approached the situation a little bit differently.
That's facts. Yeah. That's true.
But I'm with you. I love psychology and the way you phrase words, how you communicate with people. It's so fascinating with the little tweaks, not only with how you say it, but what you say and then your body language around it. It can make such a drastic difference. And I found the split. It's 55% body language, 38% paraverbal, which is how the message is conveyed, and then 7% verbal.
That's crazy.
Yeah, which is wild. Yeah. So only 7% of actually what you say is a determining factor in how the person interprets it.
Man, I feel like the deeper you go in psychology, the more pressure you have, because you know the impact that subtle things will have on the person you're talking to, trying to strike a deal with or get hired by. But I guess, hey, the more knowledge you have, the better. I love stuff like that too. And it's just like, then I start feeling the pressure. I'm like, am I implementing this strategy that I read over here? Am I doing this correctly? But yeah. I don't know, maybe not overthinking it would help.
I was just about to bring up the overthinking aspect, because I know when I've gone into situations and I am overthinking those type of things, that also shows, even if you are like being very meticulous in how you're doing and saying things with your body language and your vernacular, it can still communicate that you are being very, very meticulous and specific, and that can communicate as well. Because then I think the thing that communicates best to other people is when you're genuine. So I feel like when I overthink like that, that genuinity, is that a word?
That's definitely not a word.
I was killing it with my vocabulary. I was doing great for a second there, but I feel like I feel like that goes away just being genuine when you are constantly trying to be analytical about what you're saying, how you're saying it, and how you're communicating it.
Yeah, and I have two tips on this that have worked, but I'm also trying to play around with them. One is treat it like a game. So you read about all these tactics, and you're like, ooh, I want to try that, or try that, but if I try this, will it work? Treat it like a game, like a chess move. Like, if I move here, if I use this tactic, what's the effect? Because you're going to learn better from iterating. And then secondly, just don't take yourself too seriously. That's what I found that has relieved advice. So much stress. And I was recently doing this with a person I was talking to. It's someone who's much more successful than me. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to come across as someone who has everything together. I'm like, I'm 23. They know I don't have everything together. Like, why would I put on the front?
Right.
Like, let's just throw some ideas out. And if they tell me I'm stupid, I'm like, all right, well, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, like, when you're 40, you don't have everything together.
Yeah, exactly. So you always have something to learn from someone.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I have a question about this approach because I kind of like it. It's going in and trying to, instead of focusing on like closing the sale, closing the deal, or getting what you want, it's trying to establish a connection, a relationship, and a collaboration.
Dude. Oh, this is so funny. With the GT500 guy, I walked in. It's like, I know this stuff. I just, again, overthink how to implement it. But I walked in, I saw this guy had a bunch of old cars, photos of him with old cars all over the wall. I spent half an hour talking to him about old cars, then asked about the GT500. It was secured. Like that connection that taught me like one of the biggest lessons ever is if, you know, build that connection, that trust, and sounds like manipulation, but that's a bad way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, but it happened a little more naturally than that.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully I'm not coming across as some asshole, but.
No, I'm just saying that like, if it was very targeted, and I mean, it can be like, hey, I want to try to find a connection with this person. But as long as it's not, I want to find a connection just so I can use the person to get what I want, then it's fine. Then you actually are finding a genuine connection. And like, and you're not lying, like, oh, I love cars, and you actually hate cars. Like, no, you were talking about what you are also passionate about.
Yeah. Is it bad to fake a connection in order to help the person out? Like, okay, for example, let's say I am not a huge fan of classic cars, but he was. I love cars, so there was some commonality there. But at the end of the day, I want to help advertise and market their place through reviewing a car. So it's like, yes, I'm going to ruin my reputation here. It wasn't as genuine as it could have been. Like I definitely spoke about classic cars longer than I would have personally liked to. It was making him happy. So, you know, I continued the conversation there, but at the end of the day, it's like, I look at it as a maze. How do you get to the point where you can appeal to that person, understand how you're going to help them? And if it's through first getting them open and talking and conversational in order to get to the point where it's like they can now, they have some trust in you, they understand how you're going to be able to help them or at least be open-minded and listen to you. That's kind of how I navigated that situation. Does that sound bad?
Did you learn something?
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Then I don't think
there you go.
I don't think that's disingenuous at all because if you approach it with the mindset of, I want to learn more about what this person who might not be in my exact lane, but has some type of similarity, then your whatever Jack said, genuinity. Your aspect of being genuine is your desire to learn, which I don't think that's disingenuous at all. And got another book recommendation: How to Win Friends.
Look at you.
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
I've heard of, that's a famous one.
You got to read it.
I've heard of that one too.
Yeah, you guys would both actually anyone both love it. They have a whole chapter on stories where people would go in, they would just like this guy might be a businessman and he's talking to a botanist. Who knows? But this botanist actually has a good bit of influence. So they talked about botany for 30 minutes. And then the last 5 minutes, the botanist is like, if you ever need anything, give me a call. I'll do it for you. And then who knows? Year down the line, this guy needs something, and the botanist knows someone else, and he's like, yeah, I got you. Don't worry. So I think just approach it with the mindset of learning, and I don't think you can ever come across as disingenuous in that aspect.
Yeah, and the overall intention is a good one. Like, what, you're not trying to screw anybody over. You actually, what you would do would legitimately help them.
Exactly, yeah.
So like, that's already set. That's good. And then just trying to develop connection along the way. Yeah, that's, there's nothing wrong with that.
Because there's a big, with salespeople, I mean, I'm basically a salesperson at this point with the channel. Like, and it's just, I don't know. It's like salespeople, you kind of have to use tricks to get in with the person. And I guess, yeah, in some cases, salespeople, you could be a total like psychopath by trying to sell something that is going to, you're just trying to take their money and not like do anything. In this case, it's kind of mutually beneficial. But I don't know. I think we talked about in our failed attempt at a podcast last time that about sales and all that. And that's just a tough one because I would feel like I am being forced to like almost use somebody, like, or sell something to somebody that may not even benefit them. Like life insurance people selling life insurance to people who don't have kids or a spouse. It's like, you just scammed them. Like, let's be honest, for commission. I just, sales is a tricky one. I'm getting to know that now.
Navigating the ethical sales.
Yep.
Side of things.
That sounds like a book. That should be a book title. Navigating the Ethical Sales.
There you go. Write it.
There you go. There's your book. I mean, yeah, everyone says the best salesmen believe in their products because when they believe in their products and truly believe that what they are selling is legitimately going to benefit the person they're selling to, they're almost unstoppable unless their audience has zero interest.
Yeah.
Man, you could apply that to anything, even the podcast. It's like, do you guys genuinely believe that the content and stuff you talk about is helping other people? That's like an infinite drive of like, let's keep going. Let's keep making this better, reach more people. And I feel the same way about my channel. It's like, I genuinely believe dealerships will benefit from this. People will be able to decide what, I mean, buying a car, you're spending tens of thousands of dollars. You want it to be a smart purchase. And it's like, yeah. That's very true. The more you can understand what you're actually doing and how it's helping people is like the main drive for our motivation.
Yeah. That parlays into a question I had. What is the picture of success for you with this?
These are the questions we needed. And I'll say my piece. Okay, with the YouTube channel specifically or just what?
Let's start there.
Okay.
And then you can expand if you want.
My first ultimate goal is to get to the level of viewership and success where people are offering me the cars. I do not have to do outreach constantly to try to get people. Remember our last time we spoke, I went over how I got basically cars for half off at rental companies. It's starting to transition over to getting them for free. But I still have to do all the outreach. So ideally, that is goal number one. Goal number two is, you know, let's just make it realistic. Say $4,000 a month off of ad revenue so that I can live, you know, completely on my own, strictly off of YouTube. That would be awesome. And then big picture is, you guys know how much successful YouTubers can make. So
yeah,
mansion, Lamborghini.
There you go. I was actually I was doing some research just in prep for this on like who are the most successful YouTubers and then how their revenue streams. I know a lot of it comes from ad revenue and then sponsorships, but I feel like the ultimate value play is to use your following to launch a product.
So, Mr. Beast Burgers, Mr. Beast Candy Bars type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Or Prime. Like, Jesus Christ, that company is...
I mean, did you see the revenue numbers on Prime?
Yeah,
I haven't.
It was several hundred million or something like that.
Yeah, it was 30 million in a month. I think it was like October. I forgot when I checked. It was like 30 million in 1 month. And you think 99% of the people don't make that in 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So 2023 on track to hit over $1.2 billion in annual sales, which is nuts.
That's one product.
Yeah. So I actually, in my senior year of college, the earlier in 2023, I was helping tutor at an elementary school of like second graders. And snack time came and they all had Prime drinks. Not all of them, but probably like 10 of the 20 kids had Prime drinks. And they're coming up to me like, Mr. Jack, like Prime drinks are actually really good for you. And I was like, what? Man. How do you like they have been marketed towards like these 8-year olds. They were like literally telling me about the benefits of Prime that they probably heard from whatever Paul Brothers content they're watching on YouTube. It kind of blew my mind. I was like, oh, wow.
Like, that's insane. That is absolutely insane.
Okay, so get this. So when you value a company or like look at selling it, you will do an exit multiple of either revenue or EBITDA or something like that. The average revenue multiple for a food and beverage company is 2.4 times. So, I mean, that's already almost a $5 billion company. And what? They launched it 2-3 years ago or something like that?
Insane.
Like, that's nuts. And they sponsor all these soccer teams. And I think what they're sponsoring the Mavericks now, too, something like that.
Are they? I know they have Mark Cuban on their podcast recently. So maybe they're partnering together.
Let me see. Drum roll. Oh, no, never mind. as of March 27, 2023, Celsius is the official energy drink. So who knows?
Oh, okay. But well, maybe it's another team or something. They're doing rather well.
On that point, it's like, it's such a snowball. I mean, imagine, snap our fingers, you guys have 1 million subscribers to your podcast. You could start anything and expect at least 1% of those people to transfer over to whatever other new venture you start. It's like the concept of, the more you have, the more comes with you. The more money you have, the easier it is to make money, etc.
Yeah, snowball effect.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking on that point, and with, I'll bucket this as captivating audiences. I think if you have the power, especially in 2024 and the next 10 years, to captivate an audience, you have limitless possibilities on what you can do, sell, influence with that audience. So I'm going to preface this story with why this idea came to mind. So I'm going on a trip. I'm leaving tomorrow. And my mother, I love her to death, but she is she's super worrisome when it comes to traveling and like, oh my God, you need your Advil and your Neosporin and you like your gauze wrap and your bandages. But what if this happens? And what if you get a stomach bug? You need Imodium? Like, I'm like, oh my God, mom, just like chill. And I was thinking to myself, there's got to be a group of other moms like this. So I go down a rabbit hole looking at Reddit and Facebook, and I find a bunch of Reddit pages and I'm like, you know what? I can start a business or a Shopify page off of this. So I'm having 2 glasses of wine last night. I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. So I start a new business and I'm calling it The Worried Mom, where you create tailored packages and it can be based on event, like activity, location, or like necessities in terms of what you want in this care package for your children.
That's,
what do you guys think?
Brilliant. That is fuck you, Patrick. Patrick, I hate you. Open a bottle of wine, come up with this great business idea. That's a legitimately, like, that's a Shark Tank level idea. In my opinion, I was just listening to a Shark Tank episode of these two women, and it was like they did a very similar thing, but it was for holidays. So it was like a subscription service, and you get like care packages for each holiday. So you just get the decorations when that time of the season comes. And Robert, he like invested $500,000 for like 10% of the company.
That's sick.
What is your plan to market this?
Shopify and, I don't know, I might do TikTok or YouTube or, I don't know, or go on. Like, my initial plan to get customers is like, all right, I'm just going to go on Facebook, these mom Facebook groups. And trust me, this is probably part of the internet I should not be on as someone who's not a mom.
It's market research, I swear.
What are you going to, like, make a fake mom account, like Patricia Collins?
I asked to join this one. I was like, I'm just going to say it's my name, but if that doesn't work, I'll join a different way. hold on. Let me figure out if I can find
You know it. What you should do Facebook if your mom's on Facebook, have her like mention it in a mom group.
Yeah, my mother is not. my mom is not a Facebook.
Find a mom. It should be easy for you, mom. Patrick.
Whoa. it's called Grown and Flown Parents. And then there's this other mom group chat, Shit Moms Group Say. It's on Reddit. So all these mom group chats, and I don't know where I'm going. This is a tangent. But anyway, so there's a bunch of moms worrying about, like, hey, should I worry about the appearance of my child? I'm like, oh, this is perfect. Like, I'm going to pose as a mom and say, I'm stressed about my kid going to wherever. What do you guys think of starting a care package thing? And based on the likes I get, there you go. I'll cure you.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. I was giving you a hard time because I love you, but go for this. This is great.
You guys can join in as early stage investors because
I'll be. We could be a family. You're the mom, Jack's the dad. I'll be the son.
Yeah, I'm gonna have you running around and like, oh God, Andrew's at it again. Don't worry.
Forgot his Neosporin.
The worried mom.
That should be the pitch. That should be like the pitch. It should be a skit of Andrew being this kid that we have to take care of.
I fully plan on doing this. I wrote like a mini business plan last night because I was just like, this is awesome. And the whole reason I'm doing this, like, yeah, making money would be great, but it's so that my mother, still love you, mom, if she ever asked, do you have this for the next trip? I'm going to be like, go to the worried mom and you can find the care package to order me.
Oh, that's great. That's so good. I think it'd do so well. The market for moms with kids going to college, I mean, you'll corner that. So many moms will do that.
That's a great idea. I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah, actually, yeah, generate it towards that. Generate it towards college, because that's when moms really start freaking out, because it's the biggest, a huge transition.
Text me your Shopify website. I'm going to check this thing out.
I'm still building it.
Like, okay. They take a while. I messed around with that. They take, if you want to make a good one, they take, and have you looked into the, like how it should be organized to result in the highest conversions possible?
No, I'm literally just going to make like a landing page. And
I'm
going to start it super simple, because if this does take off, I'm going to be like, oh crap, here we go.
All right. Now we got some things to figure out. All right, I have another annoying question that you probably haven't thought of, but would you set it up as a subscription service, or would it be like a one-time buy type of package?
Good question.
Because think about it for moms who have kids in college, like a once a month care package that has essentials for their kids in college.
Yeah.
I know plenty of moms that would jump all over that.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering like how much Advil do you use? I guess you could start.
It depends on who you
are. Subscription drugs in there. Like, oh, my kid needs Adderall again, I guess.
It transitions from the friendly mom shop to the black market drug store. Yeah.
Care packages. Anyway, we're way off, Andrew.
So, yeah. Let's get back on track.
Let's loop back to cars. What is your dream car that you would want to drive?
The Lamborghini Huracan.
Oh, that is your dream car?
So this is it.
My whole life. I mean, but it's the goal is to own one. My dream has always been to even just sit in one, start one up, rev one. So I'm still, when you have some, like if Mark Cuban told you he was going to sit down with you for an hour on Friday or something, it's like, don't get too excited. Like if it doesn't work out, don't, you know? And so I'm trying to take my mind off of that for now.
So tomorrow night, you're not sleeping.
No.
how did your love for cars begin?
I probably with my brother getting his Camaro and then getting the Corvette that he has right now. And also, I don't know, to me it's like you're just free. Like it's easy to take this for granted, but in America, I mean, we're all so blessed. I when people say oh, you're so fortunate. Must be nice to be you. If you're born in America, do not say that. Because like, if you're born in America, you're in the top 1% of the population. So like, you're blessed no matter what. But it's something about just being able to go out and just, I don't know, it makes me feel free. And plus, this is a weird one to me, but I think a car is, many of you might disagree with me on this, but a car is kind of a reflection of how successful you are. And not everybody, right? You could be super rich and drive a Toyota Camry. So that's not entirely the case, but
that's,
I don't know.
That's going to be me no matter how much money I make.
Respect to you. It's a dumb, dumb purchase that a lot of people make. I don't know. Just for me, I just like that. I don't know. It's the combination of everything, the freedom, the fun factor. And then kind of just maybe I'll grow up and not think that way, but just a reflection of success.
Yeah. Well, no, it sounds like for those type of materialistic things, it's, why are you doing it? Like, are you doing it because you've liked the free, like if you rolled your window down in a Lamborghini and drove on an open road, do you feel that freedom? Or are you buying it so you can drive through a city and be like, yeah.
And impress other people.
Yeah. So I think it comes from the basis of why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. And how, I mean, how do you guys think about this? So I think a small factor as to like why I want to own a Lamborghini, I guess, is if you have that car, I think people, it opens doors in simple terms. Like if I pull up to one of these car dealerships in, let's just say a Toyota Corolla versus I pull up in a car that's nicer than all the cars they have on their lot, I think, and again, correct me if you think I'm wrong, I believe they would be more inclined to listen to me or work with me because they see that success in me. I feel like it would open doors and more connections, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think if you know your shit about a very exclusive car and you pull up to a just call it a Ford, where you're trying to get a GT something, GT 500 or whatever it is, I think the level of expertise you display from that qualifies you as a more reliable source instead of pulling up in a Corolla or something like that.
Yeah. And if you do pull up with the really nice car, but you don't know your shit at all, then it looks like it's just flash.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's like just dressing the part for the environment you're in. And I know there's some people that once you've achieved a certain level of wealth or status, it doesn't really matter how you dress. But for example, if I'm going to go out on a construction site, I don't want to wear a $5,000 suit and a Rolex when there's a bunch of laborers working around. Or for you, like you kind of want to dress the part of someone who would drive a Lamborghini. You don't want to roll up and looking like a homeless guy unless you have enough money that it doesn't matter.
I will always wear Goodwill clothes. You will never see me in clothes that purchase more than $10. But a car, that's what I would spend my money on.
Hey, and that's some people's advice. Like, cars are yours. Traveling might be mine. Jack, I don't know. What's your advice, Jack?
I don't know. Jack's, I don't Jack's buy a lot. I don't have a lot of money right now. It's not even a saint. I can't afford to buy things, my vices right now.
Here's $1 million. You have one day to spend it. What are you doing?
Like, I have to spend it. I can't save. No saving, no investing, none of that bullshit. No. You got to spend it. House. Okay. I want a cool house. I don't even necessarily need a big house, but I want like a really nice house. And what I really want in that house, it's a must. Yes, but it has to be through, I have to have a bookcase where you pull one of the books, but the book is a lever, and then it opens like a door into my private screening room.
That'd be sick.
That's my dream. That's the dream. That's what I would spend my $1 million on.
Make it happen.
Maybe one day. Wouldn't that be so cool? I'm a superhero fan. I'm like that. I just loved like always like the Batcave, like pulling the bookcase and stuff. I just thought that was so freaking cool. And I know like some people did do that to their house. And I'm like, that's so awesome. And that'd be so fun, like to have like a family and kids be like, yo, like kids, check this out. They'd be like, whoa, it'd be so cool.
That's his voice.
You ever just contemplate like if you had a bunch of, I mean, I love houses too. I would love to own an awesome house one day. But like sometimes I'll just stay awake at night thinking of like what I would do with the house. Like cool technology. Like if I, back when I was an avid weed smoker, I quit to focus on business, but I was imagining like having this glass case rise like some golden bong. And I'm like, stupid thinking about that now. I always think about like with that kind of money, just how you would deck out a house with all this cool like hidden stuff and just give people tours. I don't know.
Dude, you know what that description just reminded me of? What? Have you seen Ted 2?
No, I don't know what that is, but I haven't.
Okay, there's a scene in there where they get lost in the middle of a field, and then they're kind of like, where the hell are we? And then all of a sudden they look up, and it's just this field of weed.
Yeah, it's a weed farm that they end up
start crying. They're like, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
They played the Jurassic Park theme song during
Oh, yeah, look at the clip. It's so funny. But yeah, I think a house with, it doesn't need to be big, but with a bunch of cool little gadgets, like, oh, that's a sick feature. Like if you had a secret bookcase or a super nice kitchen or a super nice screen room where, like, you know, Tony Stark, like your glass, the glass wall in front of your house kind of like talks to you, Jarvis.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. I think it'd be cool to have like a little arcade room, but it's like the crazy machines. Like imagine having like Jumpin' Jackpot in your house. You remember that game from Sports Connection or from the arcade?
That sounds familiar.
It's like a little, how do I describe it? It's like an LED rope that goes around and there's like a pressure pad and you have to like jump. Like it's a
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I think it'd be cool to have like the gun games, like, but like the ones where like you get into the car and you hold the gun and you like shoot it at the screen. How cool would that be to have in your house?
That'd be sick.
That would be so cool. So yeah, I'd want to do fun stuff like that. I would want it to be like an 8-year-old's designing the house. I think that'd be so fun.
Dude, the ultimate goal is to be a mature adult, but also not. Like you know what I mean? I feel like you don't want to grow up and just be all like suits all the time, talking all professionally. Like that's exactly what I would do. Like an 8-year-old would be able to walk in and be like, oh my gosh, this is like my dream.
Yeah, like you have an office with some like lame globe that looks all like studious and like a bunch of books on a bookcase that you've never read.
I have a Lego globe right up there.
That's different. That's cool. I'm talking about the ones that aren't even colorful, like they're just brown. You know what I'm talking about. it's like what you telling me, you just like look at the globe, like get out of here, poser. I don't, you got a telescope and it's not even like pointed at a window.
I know you're talking
about, yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Just like the eclectic things that should be in a office or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm like,
it's
no.
The background for meetings.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Last,
all right, let's look back in.
I have for Andrew, because I know you gotta kind of wrap it up soon. What is the mindset that have helped you say, I'm gonna go all in on this? And what are, say you take one of three things away, someone listening, what can they start doing to motivate or encourage or get enough belief in themselves to go after that dream they had as a child?
God, you ask good questions. I would ask, where do your priorities lie in life? I think at the end of the day, something we all have in common as humans is freedom and choice. Without that, you can't be happy. And I think put yourself in a position where you can wake up and be excited to work towards something that you want to achieve. And for some of you, I'm sure the majority, the most common problem people have is working a 9-to-5 that they don't enjoy, not making enough money where they can support themselves. And we all have that thing of like, what could we do? What would we want to do if we could do it? And I say, don't wait on that. Just fucking send it. There is nothing, the only thing that could happen is you lose. But would you rather lose? You're going to lose. Are you going to keep working at it though after you lose? You're going to lose and lose and lose and lose. Every video is a loss for me because I'm still not full time on this yet. And I would just say it's a lot better than being 40, miserable, and not and realize you never actually tried to do what you want to do. So I would just say, where do your priorities lie? What can you do that you would enjoy on a daily basis? And how can you work towards something that excites you and motivates you?
Yeah, I love that, man.
I love that too. That's what I'm going for. That really.
Yeah, I was literally like, actor. You want to be an actor? While I was saying that, I'm like, you can do it, man. You can absolutely do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe in myself too.
Hell yeah. I think everyone definitely can. And Jack, this is a prior episode that we had this quote. It's in life, you must choose your regrets. And what you were saying is, do you want to get to 40 and be like, oh man, what if I did do that when I was 20? Or do you want to get to 40 and be like, well, now I think it's time to go and secure a family and get something more secure because I tried this thing and it didn't work.
Yeah, that's definitely what would eat at me if I was in my 40s or 50s. It would be, I didn't even try. Because if I fail, and I mean, I will, but it doesn't mean things won't work out. But if I do fail hard where it's like, all right, it's time to move on, at least I can say I tried. At least I can say I went for it. But if I didn't even try, I know for a fact that I would be in my older age really like almost like self-loathing of, wow, you didn't even try, Jack. It's what you wanted. And deep down, you thought you'd be really good at it and you didn't even try. And now it's too late. That'd be a little hell for me.
100%. And Andrew, let me know what you think of this. I don't think it's as much the impression of that other people have of you, but it's the self-respect that you have of yourself when you say, I went for this. I have enough respect in myself and belief in myself that I think I can do this, as opposed to maybe taking a traditional route, if that is your lifestyle design.
I fully agree with that. I also do try to hear what other people have to say. And I do care what other people have to say. Because I think, yeah, you can always learn something from it. But yes, I think there's a good little split there. You need self-respect, but you also can't have so much self-respect that you're closed in and only like, yep, I did my best. I am the best, but did you really do your best? And, sorry, I'm gonna have to reference Andrew Tate here again, but I give credit where credit's due. Do you guys believe that when you try your absolute best, is there actually opportunity to fail? Or like fail your whole life, I mean. Like, Jack, let's say you and it's hard to actually conceptualize what your best actually is, because that's like every day, right, absolutely right, grinding. But if you did that from age, you're 23, 24?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 23.
Up until you were 40. Do you, or even with your Shopify store, Patrick, with my YouTube channel, it's like, if we actually did that, which is, it's not an easy thing to do, but none of us are going to do that every day, every second. That's not realistic, but it's like we would not fail. Like the opportunity is there. It's just how much work, time, effort, persistence are we willing to put towards that? I think.
Yeah.
I agree. I definitely believe that I could have a successful acting career by age 40, if I put everything in it. Getting parts that I want or reaching a certain thing, that's so much of that, not a lot of that's in my control. But I know if I did my very best, put my best foot forward, I believe in myself that I would at least have a career that I could be proud of.
I love it. Everyone listening, shoot for your goals, especially if you have them. Shoot for that what if, or don't let that what if happen when you get to be 40 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
age is.
Totally. And if things don't work out, I'll let you know. I'll be like, maybe you guys were right.
We're all gonna meet up again on this podcast and just be like, yep, so I got promoted to site lead at McDonald's. How about you guys?
Hey, let's just buy McDonald's and we can say we run our own.
Hey.
Yeah, there we go.
Awesome, man. Well, I know you gotta go. guys, if you want to follow Andrew and check out any of his stuff, it's Professor Drives on YouTube and anywhere else.
And if you have a YouTube channel that you're looking to grow, I am on Fiverr, a freelancing website, and you can find me just by searching up YouTube channel review. But yeah, feel free to follow me. Make sure you follow these guys because they talk real life good shit. And I'm sure we will make another appearance again because I'm always down to talk this kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on. It is such a pleasure talking to you. I legitimately really enjoy talking to you. You're the best, man. And anything you ever need, we are always here to support you, my friend.
Likewise.
All right.
All right, guys. Yep. Peace.
Peace out. Have a good one, y'all. And as usual, if you guys have been enjoying the podcast, feel free to give it a follow wherever it is you're listening from. If you want to leave a 5-star rating for us because you love us, that'd be so, so awesome. And as per usual, for those of you who are always listening and have already done these things, we love you to death and thank you so much. All right. Take care, everybody. Thank you.